Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I think that I have agreed to speak to you because of the ignorance that is being put out there. A lot of ignorant and misleading information is being put out there, and I consider it my duty as a Minister for Justice to correct this, because indeed it has a grave implication for the administration of justice in the country. Ghana's judiciary has a very solid reputation out there within the Commonwealth. It's one of the most respected institutions in the justice delivery system in the Commonwealth of Nations. And for that matter, wrong impressions that are bandied about to soil the media integrity are of concern to me, especially when they are unfounded and premised on false grounds. The issue is simple. As was explained by the lawyer you spoke to earlier on, no date has been fixed for the hearing of the application by Dafimapo. And for that matter, the issue of agreement of time doesn't even arise at all. Edwin Tomako doesn't even understand the workings of the rules of court. An application for agreement of time for hearing of the matter comes in when you have time, a setting of fixed time, fixed for the hearing of the relevant process we're talking about. And you seek to bring the date for it. That is when we talk about abridgment of time. You are abridging the time. You are bringing it forward. When no date has been fixed, it is absolutely the duty of a party interested in the matter to cause the matter to be fixed for hearing. So I specifically wrote a letter to Her Ladyship, the Honorable Chief Justice of the Republic, asking for an expedited hearing of the matter and asking for an early date for hearing. That's a letter on record, as is done by all practitioners where they are sought, all practitioners who know the workings and rules of court.
So, and you did this in the absence...
That indeed, I have done this many, many times. 15, 16 years ago, I made the first application, about maybe 8 years ago, to the, I remember the then Chief Justice Akwa. I sent an application to him asking for an expedited hearing of a matter. He granted it. Even recently, in the Supreme Court case, 2011, that time, Edwin Tomako was my student at the Ghana School of Law. It's a matter of record. I applied for an expedited hearing of this famous Vans for France matter. And the Chief Justice then granted the application, and the matter was held in the vacation from day to day. So really, it is not unusual, it is not extraordinary, it is not out of place for a party in the matter to cause a matter to be listed for hearing or cause for the matter to be set down for hearing. So what is it, halabaloo about NDC's presentment and all that about the matter? Indeed, what interest does a party have in not having a matter heard early? If you are a plaintiff in the matter, your matter is being heard early, wouldn't you be happy? It clearly shows that the purport of filing the action was not to have the Supreme Court actually determine it, but just to cause mischief. And that mischief is what I sought to deal with by causing the matter to be heard expeditiously. And that was in accord with the Constitution of the Republic and also in accord with the Courts Act. The Courts Act vests the Chief Justice with a duty and the power to empanel courts all over the country. And if a party is of the view that his matter ought to be heard, the party has to have recourse to the rules governing the court processes within the Courts Act. It shows clearly when the NDC will speak this way. It shows a total lack of understanding or total ignorance about the rules of court.
When did you write this letter?
I wrote the letter on Monday. It's a matter, I can give you a copy tomorrow. And this is these are matters within the administrative authority of leadership and Chief Justice. Fixing a date for hearing, fixing a court or constituting a court all over the country, from the Supreme Court to the District Court. I mean, this lends itself to no controversy.
And this letter you wrote, came on the day on Monday when you still didn't know when the Supreme Court had fixed this substantive matter for.
It came on a day when there was no date for the hearing, and I caused the matter to be heard early. I wrote for the Chief Justice to exercise their powers, to exercise a prerogative under the Constitution and the Courts Act to cause the matter to be set down for hearing and heard expeditiously. and it's an application that is very constitutional, that is very legal, and that is not called the rules of court. As simple as that. And I think that, indeed, they're asking how come this matter is held before another matter. The rules of, I mean, there's no basis at all for such argument. If that were the case, how come this matter, opening, has stayed in the course of about 8 years? That one, A.G. Tomaklun and his ilk are not interested in it. They're not concerned about opening, having dragged on for 7-8 years. Why are they not concerned about that one? Other accused persons have had their judgment delivered and convicted and thrown into jail within a year or two of the matter being commenced. They're not interested in opening, being or having dragged on in the course of 7-8 years. So what is this thing about? I mean, we should not reduce the administration of justice to this.
Are you aware when you wrote this letter, Mr. Dami, on Monday?
Pardon?
Are you aware when you wrote this letter if the lawyers for Roxin Dafia Mepo were informed?
It is not. If a party writes for a matter to be set down for hearing, the party does not notify the other side. It is for the register of the court.
I'm just asking if you are aware.
It is for the register of the court to notify the other side by a hearing notice, and that was duly done. That is why the bailiff for the court was called before the court today to testify on oath as to how he did his work. And indeed, he testified that he duly served the lawyers on that side. The lawyers on that side rejected the process and asked for it to be retained and law, and that he left it at the office of the law firm, which is due service. And the lawyers on that side are not contesting the service on them. I was also notified. I did not know when the matter would be set down for you. I only applied to the Chief Justice for an isolated hearing of the matter, and the Chief Justice fixed today, and we were all notified. We were all served by a hearing notice. Hearing notice was served on me, and I showed up in court. Hearing notice was served on Mr. Tadosori, counsel for Parliament, and Parliament was duly represented not only through its counsel, but even by a party, a deputy director of legal or director of litigation drafting in Parliament, showed up in court. So really, there was absolute compliance with due process. And I think that we must stop throwing dust into the eyes of the successful of the lay public.
And that's the Attorney General. Please stay with me because Edogy is still with me on the line. Edogy, he's provided the clarity. He wrote this letter on Monday, and the Supreme Court, of course, the Chief Justice has the power to decide when to constitute the panel to hear any case, acted on that letter. And he says, and again, it was in court today. It was before the courts that the Roxin Nelson FM appointed the lawyers were duly served. Doesn't that clear up the questions you were asking earlier?
It doesn't at all. The Attorney General knows that when you are writing a letter, an ex parte communication of this nature to the leadership, the Chief Justice, you copy your opponent.
Mr. Dami, he was pretty quiet on the line whilst you explained and allowed you to explain, because indeed it's important for us to have clarity. Let him make his point, and then you can definitely give us your own thoughts on what he had said, if indeed you still have something to say. So we can have a very decent conversation that audiences can also understand. You said at the beginning, this is important for people to have clarity about. Let me just hear him for a second. Yes, Edogy.
Yeah, so the point I was making is that because you avoid ex parte communication, what you do is that you copy the lawyer on the other side that for A, B, C, D reason, I think this matter that we are handling, I want expedited hearing. So, I'm waiting this letter. You copy the other person so that the other person is in the know that this is what you are doing. In this case, no such happened. So, this whole business that somebody doesn't appreciate the fact that you can write a letter, the strategy is to copy the other side. That is what you do. In this case, the other side which is the lawyer, was only served on the, with a hearing notice to appear in court, not as to communication whether the matter should be heard today. Two distinct matters. So why are we trying to confuse the issues? By the time the hearing notice had been served or whatever on the plaintiff, the understanding is that the court has acted on your ex parte letter or application you claim. So that is the point that ought to be made.
Yes, go for it, Badami.
Mr. Kosamwado or Robson copied in this letter?
Yeah, you've asked a question. Let's the Attorney General answer.
Right. Again, a lot of ignorance is being put out there. And I'm saying that, for the record, a letter written by a party to cause a matter listed for hearing or to be heard, either to the registrar or the Chief Justice, is not a judicial process. A judicial process is the hearing notice that will be issued pursuant to the letter. And he knows it. If he doesn't know it, then indeed it will be class ignorance of the highest order. That if a party is writing to the register of the court or the Chief Justice asking for a matter to listen for hearing, there is no way you copy the other side. You propose a date in it. In this case, I did not even propose a date at all. I only asked for an letter hearing on the matter. And the hearing notice, which is supposed to be the judicial process, was duly served on the parties. And that is what is supposed to be done. And that's what makes the point that we must stop debasing the image of judiciary. We must stop debasing law practice in this manner through all these unwarranted comments about the integrity of the judiciary, when indeed there is absolutely no concern at all. I think that in this matter, and I do not even see why there's such a problem. Council for Parliament, which is actually the affected party, was even in support of my opposition to the application. He supported my opposition to the application because the application filed by the affirmative report was totally frivolous and baseless. And that, for me, is actually the point of interest.
Substantively, the matter has been dismissed.
So when the Speaker of Parliament adjourned proceedings in the manner in which he did on the basis of this application, only for his own lawyer to turn up in court and oppose the Speaker of Parliament.
Substantively on that subject, though, now that the matter has been dismissed, you've written to the Speaker already objecting to his decision to suspend the hearing when it comes to the ministers who were nominated. Are you taking further steps to ensure that the verdict of the court today on this matter is implemented by Parliament now that they're on recess?
Well, I think Parliament was in court. Parliament was represented through its lawyer. And I know the lawyer, very decent practitioner, no doubt will do the proper thing by notifying his client and all. And at least for now, it's been cleared, this issue of agreement of time that was raised by Eti Tamakro. You see that the argument is flawed.
So you leave Parliament?
They assign some education.
Sometimes it matters.
There's no need for any agreement of time when a matter has not been listed for hearing.
So you leave Parliament to act on the ruling today, and you expect them to, in essence...
So I'm saying that Council for Parliament was in court. Council for Parliament had a ruling. And clearly, in accordance with due process, I'm sure he will instruct his client. And I'm saying that, indeed, the call by me for Parliament to reconsider the decision made by the Speaker has even been made more imperative by this ruling.
And thankfully, we've just been joined by Nipapo Samuado, and he represents Roxing Nelson Dafiamekpo in this particular matter. And today, the bailiff was... hauled before the court and asked questions because it emerged today in court, it was reported, that an attempt was made to serve the processes on Nipapo Samuado, and the report was that there was a rejection of this. Nipapo Samuado, thank you for your time here on Newsnight. Hello, Nipapo Samuado. Hello, Nipapo Samuado. Okay, well, we may have lost him on the line. We also have Bobby Bansing still with us and Eduji Tamakro also with us on this. And if you're just joining us today, a major day in court, as you know, that tussle between the legislature and the executive has been playing out ever since the LGBTQ bill was passed. It came to a head today when the court had to decide on another aspect of this that had prevented the president's nominees from being confirmed by parliament, because the speaker had referred to this application before the courts. That is the subject of some controversy tonight. Thankfully, Nick Papo Samado joins us right now. Hello, Nick Papo Samado. Thanks for your time here on Newsnight.
Hi, Eva.
Yes. So, is it true that you rejected the processes when the bailiffs attempted to...
That's completely untrue. And it's quite unfortunate that a bailiff of the court would, on oath, tell a bare-faced lie to the court. Now, this is the direction of events. I received a call, and luckily I have the record, from the bailiff of the court at 10:50 a.m. yesterday. I was not in Accra at that particular moment. So I told him that I unfortunately could not receive whatever
Yes, Igbo Samado, I can hear you.
Okay. So I said yesterday at 10:50 a.m., I received a phone call from a bailiff of the Supreme Court who said he had a process that he wanted to serve on me. Unfortunately, I was not in Accra at the moment. So I told him that he should take the number of Honorable Roxton and ensure that he delivers.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save
20%. The process to him. And I sent him the number at 10:57 a.m. And he said, received with thanks. That was the last time I dealt with the bailiff. Now, this bailiff later on apparently goes to my office and says that identifies himself at the front desk and says he's a bailiff of the court and that he has a process to serve. He takes out the process and then puts it on the table. Now, the secretary signed the process with my name on it and told him that, I wasn't in the office, but if he could wait and let me sign things when I came or when he got in contact with me. He said he wanted to call his boss and confirm whether that should be what he should do. That was the last time anybody heard of it. He told them he was making a phone call and he'll be back. So nobody signed for the process, because he said he was making a phone call and would be back. Luckily, we have a CCTV system in our office with an audio capacity. So we have him on CCTV, and I'll put the CCTV out.
And you have him
whatever
on CCTV?
Whatever he said was a blatant lie.
You mean what he told the court today?
He told the court, and see,
he was under oath before the court.
And quoted. He said, I had instructed my clerk at the front desk to refuse the court process in that particular case. Why would I say that?
That is what he told the court. You're saying you
exactly
didn't instruct him?
And that is what is on his effect report. And luckily, we have the CCTV with the audio on it.
When he
and
left,
so I've sent it out for you to listen to it. It is not true.
In court today, he also said that when this happened, he left the documents there at front desk and left.
So he told the front desk that he was making a call to the registrar to clarify whether he should wait for me to come and sign or whether he should leave. And he never came back. And so you see, normally when you bring a process to our front desk, you sign for it and you also record you as having come with the date and everything, because we have a process which is part of our office. So why would we not accept the process?
So, but why were you not in court today, though?
Precisely because I wasn't in the office yesterday. And so clearly, when he brought and left the document here, nobody had touched it.
So nobody opened the document to check which date
it was. We didn't know what it was. We didn't know who he was. That was the sad thing. And I wasn't even in the office the whole day. But be that it may, once the court said it has been left there for proper service, you know, it goes. If the court has already ruled, so what can you do?
I mean, but everybody knew, it was widely reported that this case was going to be heard today.
Really?
I'm a journalist. Yeah, I'm a journalist. I knew it was going to be heard today.
And well, so you were a journalist. You knew the case was going to be heard today. I didn't know.
You weren't there. Your client was also not there.
Yeah. And the court has ruled. What can we say?
What about
at least the substantive case is still pending.
It is.
Yeah. So
are you aware?
I mean, when you file an injunction, it can be granted, it can be dismissed. What can you do? The only other thing was that we have filed two injunctions because the second one was, we're going to withdraw the first one to replace the second one. So you can understand why the court said it was duplicitous. Yes, because it was two injunctions. We're going to withdraw one and then have one head. But anyway, that has already happened. So we live by the court's decision. We respect it. What can you say? Even though you disagree with it, that is the decision of the court.
Did I just hear you say that you are putting in another injunction application on the separate matter?
No. I said we have put in two injunction applications. That is why you heard the court. We were going to withdraw one when we were in court. That is why, unfortunately, because we were not there, the court described the two applications as being duplicitous, duplicating each other.
Uh-huh. Are you aware of a letter written on Monday by the Attorney General asking for an expedited hearing of this?
Oh, it is not abnormal. Even though normally you would have expected him to come maybe by a motion. He says he filed the letter. We were not copied though. But if he says he filed the letter asking for an expedited hearing of the matter, that he can write. Because we have also, but in our case, in the mandamus, we have filed a formal application for abridgment of time. So if he filed a letter, unfortunately, we were not copied. At least maybe they are copied us. We would then have been able to speak to him. But he didn't copy us. And if the court had granted him the expedited hearing by issuing us hearing notices, well, that is the court.
And you have no grievance with that?
Oh, but of course, we would have loved to have been notified. Obviously, if the letter had come, then we would be in a position to have maybe been in the know. That, of course, then the matter is going to be heard. Yes, normally Supreme Court hearing notices are issued, but normally there's time. There's time. We have a pending judgment in the same Roxy, in the first lady and second lady matter. The date is long. You know, there are periods in between. Uh-huh. So parties are well informed and well ahead. But clearly, in this case, unfortunately, so maybe you should ask for a copy of the letter and see when it was issued, when it was received, then you could make a proper analysis of the situation. But it is, once he says he issued the letter and it wasn't the court registry that issued the hearing notice independently, that is a statement. So then maybe you could ask for a copy of the letter. Then you will know when it was issued and when the hearing notice was issued.
So this clears this up now, because you, of course, are a party to the case. You said you don't have an issue with him writing on Monday and asking for a bit of time, which is something that you...
Did he tell you he wrote on Monday?
Yeah, he said he wrote it on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, you don't have any issue with that, because you say it's normal process.
No, so this is what I've said. I've said that you can file a letter or you can file an application. If you file a letter, maybe... Clearly, once there are other parties involved, we would probably be given a notice of that letter, you understand? Because it is a letter that affects the rights of all the parties involved. But clearly, we were not copied. And so, unless I see a copy of the letter, I have to take the Attorney General's word for it. But it's a bit out of the norm when the date is that close. Because if he filed the letter on Monday and the hearing was issued on Tuesday, that is not the normal period of time that the Supreme Court normally issues its hearing notices. Because for hearing notices of the Supreme Court, they normally have a bit of time. But that's why it may depend on the content of the letter. So we will all love to see a copy of the letter. And I hope you will be able to ask him to give you a copy of the letter.
Go for it, Badame.
Yes, I must admire the grace shown by Limpopo Tamado. Indeed, that is how all practitioners ought to conduct themselves, especially in the public space. Yes, candor and all that. And clearly, as has been stated by Limpopo as well as Bobby Panson that you were speaking to before. It is not extraordinary. It is not unusual for such a process to be resorted to. That is an application to the legislative chief justice to exercise their powers under the Constitution and also the Courts Act to cause an extraordinary hearing of a matter. And that is what we did. I have nothing further to add to that. I'm saying that clearly the processes are resorted to where known to the law, is within the law. It's up to parties to familiarize themselves with the rules governing proceedings in court. And so Eddie Tamakwe & Co. will scream loud and on various platforms and allege that there has been a violation of due process and cite rules which do not apply. Today, he's talking about agreement of time, and it's been shown to him by the other lawyer as well as myself that the issue of agreement of time doesn't even arise at all. So clearly, it shows that he's unfamiliar with the rules of court. Mr. Tamakwe, I mean. And so really, I mean, we must, as I said once again, stop unnecessarily attacking the judiciary where there's no cause at all. That is what I say.
There's still one case outstanding, the Richard Sky case. You were asked in court by my reporter whether you would take the same approach in that particular case. You
said, well, the approach I adopted in this matter was informed by the implication this had for state business in Parliament. Apart from this approval of ministers, there were very serious financial matters that had been adjourned by the Speaker of Parliament on account of this matter. And that is why this, and the court is actually even going on an Easter break. And I'm sure that is why the Supreme Court actually faced the hearing for today. Yes, there is a regular legal vacation at Easter time. There are three legal vacations in a year. And it's up to parties to plan the way they conduct their cases. If you do not plan your case well and force within the Christmas break, so be it. The Supreme Court will not hear your matter. So there's no way any case can be heard next week or perhaps 2 weeks. The courts are going on Easter break. That's
except
the matter
that
of record.
Richard
it's
Sky
something
case,
that's known to the rules of court.
Except that in the Richard Sky case,
not just
Attorney
because
General.
Of this one.
In the Richard Sky in the Richard Sky case, Attorney General, there is a bill passed by Parliament which is also in limbo. It also has constitutional implications that also, many will argue, requires an expedited hearing to settle this matter, considering its high-profile nature and how it's become a pretty divisive subject.
Yes, but I'm saying that there are many parties to the action. The Speaker of Parliament is a party to the matter. He's represented in the matter through the same counsel. Rich Kai also has a lawyer. And I'm explaining the peculiar circumstances which resulted in the application being made. I don't know whether the same considerations hold for that matter. Of course, I expect the Supreme Court to deal with the matter as quickly as possible. But I've adverted your mind to the fact that there's an Easter vacation coming up. The Supreme Court will not hear any matter for some time now.
But you will not apply for the expedited hearing of that case.
I mean, stop this unnecessary play to the gallery.
No, it's the point I'm making.
There's an Easter vacation. It is in the court.
Yes, it is.
In the rules of court.
Return. I'm asking...
Yes.
Categorically, you will not apply for an expedited hearing.
I do not do my cases. Or did I inform the public about the letter that I was writing before I wrote it? I never did it. Did I? I never informed the public that I was writing the letter before I wrote it. Mm. So please stop. I do not do my case in the media, and I do not reveal my strategies
but
in the media.
My question is simple.
And I'm saying that we are actually constrained by even the Easter vacation and what have you. Indeed, if I write the CJ, it's up to the Chief Justice. The Chief Justice can, it's an exercise of administrative discretion by the Chief Justice. So that request maybe not.
Yeah,
and this is the first time I've
written
to the Chief Justice asking for a special sharing of various matters. Some have been granted, some have not been granted.
Yeah, but the question is whether you will write it.
Please, I've answered you adequately. Thank you. Stop playing to the gallery.
That is the Attorney General. I'm not playing to the gallery. I'm asking a simple question. It's about applying the principle. In one case, you applied for an expedited hearing. In another case, related to the same matter, though, it's fair to ask that question. The NDC's Director Legal is still with me. He is Eddie Tamaklo. Mr. Tamaklo, you've heard the Attorney General. You had the Nipakpo Samado, who is the lawyer for Dafia Mekpo. What's the party's position now that you've heard all sides on this? You are unhappy with the expedited nature which the Supreme Court decided to hear this. Now that you've heard all sides, do you still hold that position, and what's next for the party on this matter?
I think that
your question to the arrogance of the attorney general is the answer he gave you. You ask a very simple question from this arrogant attorney general, whether or not, per the principle of writing to the chief justice, you will write to have an expedited hearing in respect of the Richard Starr. He says you are playing to the gallery. That is how he has misconducted himself in this revered office. I will say more.
And that's the director of legal for the NDC. There he is, Edoji Tamaklu. Where do you stand on this debate? I want to hear from you. 0551111997. And if you're just joining us, wondering what we're talking about, this was a major case before the Supreme Court today. It had to do with an application by Roxy Nelson Dafiamekbo, asking the Supreme Court to stop Parliament from proceeding with its hearing when it came to the confirmation of the president's ministry or nominees. As you know, the Speaker had referred to that application and frozen the consideration in Parliament. The Attorney General revealed to us that he had applied to the Supreme Court for an expedited hearing. The letter went on Monday and it was heard today. The NDC is unhappy with that because they believe it's double standards on the part of the Supreme Court when they've not done the same for the Richard Sky case, which relates to the anti-gay bill. As you know, the president had said that he will not receive that bill until that case is heard. What do you make of all that you've heard? 0551111997. And George Afe is joining me with business. Hello, George.
Well, hi, Evans. And coming up in business, a $300 million World Bank facility finally hits Bank of Ghana's account. But could this mean that the stalled projects will start very soon? And what about its impact on the Ghana city? And the price of cocoa surges above $10,000 a ton as analysts forecast chocolate could be next. But in all these things, why is Ghana not benefiting from this record high in prices of cocoa on the international market? The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business, Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent Charcoal and Herbal.
Can you hear it? The freedom in our songs, the sound of liberty that rings from Kaswa to Karaga, from Tamale to Takoradi. It's in the pestles that pound from coast to coast. It's in the busy offices, the crowded streets, and the noisy schools. It's in the wisdom of our elders and in the laughter of our children. It's in seeing how far we've come and looking at how much we can grow. It's in knowing that still Ghana go be. Happy 67th Independence Day, Ghana. MTN.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumase KNUSD Campus, CC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Water is needed all day, all night. So, remember Syntex Tank, all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex Tank, a strong, a tough. Water is needed all day, all night. So, remember Syntex Tank, all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex Tank. Are you strong? Are you tough?
Hello, Auntie Araba. Hey, Boga, how are you doing today? I want to buy Pepsodent Cavity Fighter, but I don't have enough money. So what are you going to do? Can you give me the big size? You know, as for me, I'll pay the balance later. Today, no credit. I haven't sold much this morning. If you don't have enough money for the big size, why don't you try the 120-gram pack? There's a 120-gram pack? Introducing the new Pepsodent Cavity Fighter in 120-gram pack size. More affordable and convenient. Get yours today from any supermarket near you. Every smile matters. This advert is FDA approved.
You're live here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. And George Riafe has a lot on what has been happening over the last few hours. There was a lot of speculation in the media about a shakeup at the Ghana Revenue Authority. What more do we know?
Well, Evans, what we understand is that there were reports that he's been sacked from the position as Commissioner General of the Ghana Revenue Authority. What we understand that issues came up about the consistency of his appointment and what should be done about it and all those things. So, you know, there was an issue about the contract has ended, it's supposed to be extended and all those things. So what we understand from the presidency was that they were trying to find a way to still, based on the time that his contract ended and even extended as well. And there have been some official communication we understand to this effect. So based on the final communication to the authority and even copy to him as well, we understand that based on the time that his contract ended, it has been extended to March 31, 2024. So as we speak right now, he's still at post. He's not been sacked, but what we understand that based on the contract extension for the previous engagement and all those things, that would end at March 31, 2024,
and the replacement has already been appointed in anticipation of him.
Of him, so he hasn't been sacked, as far as you understand. Anyways, to other stories, the $300 million World Bank facility has finally hit Bank of Ghana's account. Now, Joy Business understands that the transfer was carried out this morning. This was after Ghana was able to meet all the necessary conditions that would aid in the transfer of the facility to the country. This might go a long way in helping the resumption of some infrastructure projects that have stalled over the years. It could also help in improving Bank of Ghana's reserves as it has reached more than $6 billion ending February this year. The development could also go a long way in slowing down the rate of depreciation of the Ghana cedi against the US dollar. The price of cocoa continues to hit record levels on the international market. The London-based Financial Times is quoting some commodity trading platforms as it being now selling above $10,000 per ton. But what is driving this spike and why is Ghana not benefiting from this? And what about those who are forecasting that cocoa prices or chocolate prices could be the next? There's more in this report.
Cocoa was going for just about $7,000 per metric ton. Fast forward to the end of first month, it has crossed the $10,000 per metric ton. Cocoa prices have been rallying on the international markets since the beginning of this year. This can be partly linked to the supply challenges that leading countries like Ghana and Ivory Coast are currently facing. These two countries have not been able to meet demand coming from the chocolate producers around the world due to bad weather conditions. This has also affected the production of the beans by farmers. But in all of this, why has Ghana not benefited that much from the soaring prices of cocoa on the international market? This is because the country has adopted a strategy that it sells all of its cocoa beans now based on projected future prices, which some call a forward contract. The development means that the country may not benefit from these rising prices on the global market. Another development that has even compounded the situation is that there are reports that indicate due to Ghana's inability to produce more beans to hit some targets, it may struggle to get the needed funding for the purchase of beans for the next crop season.
And that is a business tax report. Now, the National Insurance Commission has indicated that it will soon consider name and shame of firms that are breaching industry regulations, including price and the cutting. The move is part of measures to help sanitize the industry from certain practices and ensure prompt
payment of claims. Mike Lando is the acting commissioner of the National Insurance Commission, and he was speaking on the Joy Business National Insurance Commission Economic Dialogue Program.
Let's conduct supervisory issues that we are bringing to bear on the insurance companies to cooperate. There are guidelines we've published on, say, claims payment. When you submit your claim application, for example, there's a period within which the insurance company is supposed to respond. There's a period within which they are supposed to come back and say whether they will admit the claim or repudiate it and the reasons. And we publish these in the newspapers.
And they are being enforced.
Everywhere.
And they are being enforced.
Yes. And it is for the public to get to know what to expect when they submit their claim, so that when it doesn't happen, they can make complaint to us to deal with. Let me also mention that when you want to make a claim, you are making a claim on an incident that the insurance company did not witness. They need to get documents in their hands to be sure that this happened.
Does it explain
it is part of it. Because to be able to make to be able to make a motor claim, you need a police report and you need a medical report.
Acting Commissioner of the National Insurance Commission, Michael Ando. Now, Omnibusiness Bank offers the best interest rates to businesses and corporates ending February 2024. Now, that's according to the Bank of Ghana's annualized percentage rate report. There is more in this analysis.
The annualized percentage rate, according to the Bank of Ghana, is the actual rate businesses and individuals pay on loans, including all charges. The data shows that corporate organizations and businesses that secured facilities from banks over a year paid an average interest rate of 33.6%. The same rate applies to loans secured over a three-year period. Access Bank was the best bank in providing loan facilities spanning over 5 years and offering an average interest rate of 30.5%. The Bank of Ghana believes that regular publications of these rates will enlighten the public on the cost of credit offered by the banks. They believe this could also help drive down the cost of credit, as it might create the needed competition among commercial banks.
And that is a Business Desk report. And that's all for Business on News Night.
Ladies and gentlemen, Telecel is here!
Telecel, connecting energies.
The question is not why South Africa. The real question is how you South Africa. How you'll come across 1,000 tongues that all speak in one voice. Welcome. How you can wake up with one foot firmly planted in the Indian Ocean and the other in the Atlantic Ocean. How diamonds and couture are but a stone's throw away from the safari. How your tongue will visit a million destinations on one plate. How your feet will sway in djembe, your torso in amapiano, and your mind in bliss. How crystal clear rivers flow in the day and crystal flows in the night. Whoa. We know this because this is how we South Africa every single day. And this is why we invite you to South Africa with us.
Own your moments in South Africa visa-free this Easter holiday. Explore new holiday deals at southafrica.net. Come journey with us.
Recoded to do more with ease. The enhanced GCB mobile app. Download now from Google Play Store or Apple Store for all your transactions. Smooth, safe, and secure. Chale, tap the app. You don't need to have an account to upgrade. GCB mobile app. Recoded to do more. Upgrade your style. GCB Bank. Your bank for life.
You're still live here on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, members of the Locked Up Investment Holders Forum have today clashed with the security at the Finance Ministry as personnel prevented the protesters from entering the ministry. The group marched to the finance ministry after meeting the governor of the Bank of Ghana. They wanted to deliberate over how to retrieve their monies locked up with some financial houses and microfinance companies. We'll get details of all that shortly. But first, listen to some customers who say they are now unable to take care of their financial and health needs.
Not Ghanaians. Are we not Ghanaians? Are they any Ghana for? I am paying for the Ababedo. Ye ba ha in 2 weeks time. Omo e se yedi ma ye da ha ko pim se ye be ji ye sika. Ghana nye safe for investment. Enye safe for investment. Ye ji ye sika. NDK ye ji ye sika.
If only they will listen to us. They are wicked people. Because if somebody should work, I worked for about 35 years with the VRA as a technical engineer. See my helmet? So all these monies that I accrued, when I retired and it was given to me, I deposit everything so that as and when I need it, I can go there. And also to rely on it at this my old age. Right now I'm 68 years. You can imagine this. Yeah. So this is what
I saved money with NDK Financial Services with the intention that when I come on pension, I'll be able to rely on income from that to help me to supplement my pension. Unfortunately, I've not been able to get the money that I invested in ADK Financial Services for over 4 years now. So I'm left with no alternative but to, you know, pick it for it.
James Avleji was with them and he's in the studio with me right now. Let's talk about what happened at the finance ministry. They were successful in meeting the governor, but then they wanted to go to the finance ministry and then there was this scuffle between themselves and the police. What happened?
Yes, Evan, so when they got there, there were some police, internal police officers as well as internal security as well as police officers in uniform who were manning the gate. And so when they got there, the gate was shut at them, not allowing anyone entry into the place. That led to some back and forth between Dr. Ananiyentui himself and then the security of the ministry.
We want your name! We want your name! Is it your minister who said we shouldn't come, or you are saying, what's the authority for you to lock the place? That some people, we are not saying all of us are coming. 10 people are coming to meet the minister because we have written to the minister. And you are saying what?
That is not there, it's out.
The minister is up, Master. You don't need to be working here. It means you don't even understand organization. You don't understand organization. You shouldn't be here. You should be fired. If I want to meet the minister and it's not there, there should be a human being who will represent the minister. I'm sorry you are employed here. You shouldn't be here because you don't understand organization. To say minister is not there, and so what? The minister is not there. There is nobody in this. I'm announcing this to the whole world.
Doc, what's the issue?
Yes, I can't understand. The
information he's giving
if you don't know, work, don't come here and say, I'm a small boy.
He said we don't have any appointment.
I myself brought the letter here. No, not that you say. This is a public office, so you should know. I was also a public officer, but now I retire. The issue is that we want to meet the minister and someone who I don't know the capacity in which he is talking. Say, I don't have a meeting with the minister because I haven't even informed the minister. And I brought a letter to the minister's office last Friday announcing that these people will come. The governor knows that the minister has received the letter and the minister knows we are coming here. Then somebody sitting here say, no, we don't have any appointment. We are waiting. I'm forgiving them. Somebody say they are bringing some people to come and meet us. I'm waiting for some few minutes and see what happened.
So how was this resolved?
Finally, they were allowed, some 10 of them were allowed to get into the premises. They went in there and in just about 5 minutes, they came back to address the media, telling us that they haven't met none of them, either the minister, deputy, some who have been vetted but not approved yet, the chief director or no senior officer of the ministry. He tells us their next line of action.
Okay. So we are going away. We will find another time to come to the ministry. Now we have seen the Bank of Ghana doesn't have a challenge. It is the government that might provide sufficient funds for Bank of Ghana to revoke. So we will be coming here.
How soon are you returning here?
We according to our plan, it's 2 weeks. So if we didn't get them today, next week, it is here that we are coming.
We won't even go to the Bank of Ghana. We will come here directly, because this is where we need the assurance from government that I will provide funds so that Bank of Ghana can revoke these licenses. So we will be here.
But they met the governor.
Yes.
What did they get out of that meeting?
They tells us that the governor actually accepted their proposal to revoke the licenses of the financial institutions in question. They say that the governor said they are in the process of doing that, but they needed some assurance from government through the finance ministry that, listen, if we do this, the government has the money ready to pay the customers. And so they needed that assurance from the government through the finance ministry that there is money sitting down there for them to use to pay customers before they can trigger that process of revoking the licenses. And that is what they've gone to the finance ministry to negotiate for before meeting the absence of the minister into the officials.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. You're still live here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM, and there is still some stalemate when it comes to the teachers' strike, and we're getting the latest on this. There's no end in sight now, as another meeting today did not end properly. In fact, the meeting was called to try and resolve this. Still, the teachers are on strike. This is a result of the teachers' refusal to call off this industrial action. Yesterday's meeting ended with 3 out of 9 demands being met by government. According to the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, the requirement for the negotiation of the 6 outstanding demands was for NAGRAT, NAT, and CCT to suspend the action.
Per the directive given by the Labour Commission, that was yesterday, we were directed to meet the teacher unions who are on strike. Indeed, certain specific directives were given by the Commission. One specifically was for the teacher unions to call off the strike in order for us to continue our engagement. And the second was to meet today, which is Wednesday, 2 p.m., which, of course, we have complied. The very reason why you are also here. Indeed, one of the directives, which was for them to call off the strike to allow us to continue our engagement, the teacher unions have not complied. Indeed, because of that, we cannot continue with the negotiations. Indeed, they explained that they have to go through certain procedures to get themselves called off the strike, which was to consult their respective council. They tabled that, and indeed they were going to meet their council. Because of that, we have also indicated that then they have to do that needful directive provided by NLC for us to continue with the engagement. The final point was that if indeed they are able to call off the strike, we are ever ready as a government team to meet them even today or tomorrow.
I mean, the biggest casualties in this is the students who, for example, the GHS3 students, they have about three months to write the BEC and all that. They are all being affected in this. Don't you at least consider them in these negotiations?
So that is why in the wisdom of the Labour Commission, they directed that they should call off the strike, get back to the classrooms and teach for the sake of our kids so that we can also continue with the engagement.
So long as they don't call off the strike, you are also not going to...
Indeed, you were here. They have promised that they are going to meet their respective council and to do the needful for us to continue. And we have also indicated that if they are able to call off the strike, even today, we are going to engage them.
And that's Professor Charles Adabo-Opon. He is the head of grievances and negotiations at the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. My colleague, Kenneth JC, was there for us at the Employment and Labour Relations Ministry where this meeting was held. And he joins me in the studio. How did the teachers react to the outcome?
Well, Evans, the teachers were obviously not happy when they stormed out of the meeting. They said that they were not giving any audience to the media, but their demeanour, their expressions did indicate that what they were expecting were not, you know, heeded to. But we do recall that when the NLC met them and met 3 of their 9 demands, they did indicate that if there's going to be further negotiations, they will have to call off their strike, and they did not. So government is saying that it is ever ready to come back to the negotiation table if they are able to fulfill that. So the teachers did not utter a word after the meeting, but they were not happy.
Well, while this whole impasse lingers on, at the heart of this are the children.
Yes.
The parents are now speaking up about it's been a week now
yes.
since the strike was called, and the kids are still in school without supervision.
Yes.
Listen to a few parents we spoke to.
Sometimes you have to give pocket money to your child or your ward to go to school, but you come back without learning anything. And so we need to really going to affect them academically.
The time that I'm in school, I didn't see this kind of thing before. Small teacher will go strike.
By looking at the thing, teachers being in the house and they're also in the house, I think it will affect
We appeal to the government to address the concerns of the teachers. The children are home doing nothing much, and that can affect your education.
A few parents, they're talking about the impasse that has led the situation in the schools to be a bit challenging for the students and the teachers as well. They still remain on strike 1 week on. Let's do sports now. And Ms. Bao joins us with details.
Yeah, even just a little update from the protesting volunteers. The executive chairman of the local organizing committee, Dr. Kweku Ofosu-Asare, he's been responding to the claims that have been made by the protesters. And he says that the protesting volunteers for the competition were misinformed. According to him, the letter that was handed to each one of them did not indicate any payment. And so the communication they later received that some payments will be made to them was a sheer case of miscommunication. He's been speaking to my colleague, Aruna Mubarak, on it.
I won't fault them for too much, maybe misunderstanding, and they were misinformed about some of these things. If they had the right information, I'm sure they wouldn't have conducted themselves the way they did. They've been very wonderful, supportive, wouldn't have been able to run the...
Yeah, so, just commending them, but insisting that they were misinformed. But the president of the Arm Wrestling Federation, Osei Sebe, has been, you know, calling on the local organizing committee and the Ministry of Youth and Sports to ensure that the athletes are paid promptly for the medals that they won for the country.
Camping allowance for the 2 weeks, 1,000 cedis a day, is paid instantly. Then you leave camp. Now, the arrangement they have is that the team will go and meet His Excellency, after which the winnings will be paid. So I hope and pray that this is done instantly so that the joy of the these athletes is not just about the medals they have won, but very often they have complained about treatment, the way others are treated better than them. Others take more, this is less. What we must also know is that this is a multi-sport event. What it means is that you must pay every black satellite player $3,000.
Yeah, that's Mr. Charles Osei Asibe over there. Even that's it for sports.
Thank you very much.
Safe driving saves lives. Drive safe.
Well, some commercial drivers in the central business district of Accra are pushing for the immediate relocation of drinking pubs sited within or close to bus terminals. They contend that the presence of these spots that retail alcoholic beverages make it easy for the drivers to buy, drink and drive. As part of the Joy News Drive Safe campaign, Stanley Niblu visited some bus terminals and filed this report.
Welcome to Tudu, a commercial hub situated in Accra's central business district. It is home to several bus terminals transporting passengers to many parts of the country. Drivers and commuters alike are the patrons of the numerous food joints that have sprung up over the years at these lorry parks. But because eating at these centers requires appetizers, it has given way to another thriving business, pubs, or what is popularly known as Blue Kiosk. Alcoholic beverages of all kinds are sold here. There are more than four active drinking joints dotted around the lorry station. Delali Akapo, a driver who plies his trade here, is concerned about the many drinking spots around the station. He recounts how many drivers have made a quick dash there to take some shots of alcoholic beverages before jumping behind the steering wheel. For him, the only way the impending danger can be averted is for the authorities to relocate these pubs near the lorry parks as a matter of urgency.
I'm worried about the joints being created just around the station.
because it's even nearby. So if a driver is on scale, he can quickly just bend the corner and just go and take alcohol, which is not the best. So if there is something they can do about that too, you know, drive them away, far away from the station, because their presence around the station is also a cause, a major factor that is making the drivers also take the alcohol.
Some bar operators who spoke to Joy News confirmed the defiance of some drivers. They sneak to the sports to drink either a few shots or bottles on a regular basis.
I drive a four in a particular day. A woman one. But Obiwa, on co-driver, Okodidia Nakakra.
It's only few drivers who come to buy alcohol from us because they claim they want appetite for meals. But they stay away from alcohol when embarking on trips.
Joseph Asare is a station master at the Numbosu station at Tudo. He admits the existence of drinking spots close to the lorry stations, but denies assertions that drivers prioritize alcoholic beverages before embarking on their trips.
A drinking spot, you know. Me and Chan was a drinking spot in Nihade, but drinking spot outside, outskirts.
I won't deny the fact that there are drinking spots at the station, but the truth is that the spots are sited meters away. We are aware about the National Road Safety Authority sensitization, so we are careful not to cause accident on our roads.
Asare said personnel from the Ghana Road Safety Authority and the police service frequent the lorry terminals to check the alcohol consumption levels of the drivers, but that exercise is yet to happen this year. At the Obra Sports Station around the Kwame Nkrumah Interchange in Accra, the situation is no different. The Ghana Road Safety Authority has indicated it will immediately start clamping down on drinking spots sighted at the lorry stations. The authority's intended action follows alarming carnage on the country's roads, claiming 370 lives in the first 2 months of this year.
This is an enforcement regime that is coming to check drink driving and speeding. And it is something that, as authorities, we have identified and we are going to crash it head on.
Drink driving is reported to account for 10% of road crashes in the country, a situation prompting a targeted campaign to effectively address it. Stanley Niblewo's report read to you.
And that's it for Newsnight tonight. A few of you joining us with your thoughts on the stories we've looked at so far. Just a couple. This one from James in Kumasi says, it's a shame and a double standard practice by the president to refuse to send this particular bill, the anti-gay bill. There was another interlocutory injunction on the e-levy bill filed by Honorable Mahama Yariga and co. at the Supreme Court, but the president still went ahead to assent to that particular bill. And we also have this one from Citizen Sikai. Says it's quite sad that the respected legal practitioner will become the antithesis of the rule of law. And then you have Gerald in Tamale. I think it's unfair to allow the judge to attack the personality of the AG and let him deal with the issues. Well, up next is Strong and Sassy, and a conversation that you will love to tune in and listen. Age-related facility decline. That's up next.